The Trump administration and congressional leaders are trying to whip up support for a new $1.37 trillion budget deal. With just a few days left before legislators ditch Washington for August, there's little time to pass the budget and prevent the U.S. from defaulting on its debts in September. The deal would raise the debt ceiling, something Republicans rail against when a Democrat is in office, but are more likely to support under a GOP president. Eric Wasson is a congressional reporter for Bloomberg News.
In 2011, there was a debt ceiling crisis, and at that time, Republicans forced President Obama to agree to 10 years of budget caps, essentially lowering the discretionary part of the budget by hundreds of billions of dollars over the decade. And this would turn those cuts off for the next 2 years, and in fact, it doesn't even extend the budget caps beyond that. This is a big victory for Nancy Pelosi. Defense hawks in the Republican Party are pretty happy with it. It would increase defense spending, and that's the way that President Trump and other Republican leaders are selling it to their members. And Nancy Pelosi, you know, only controlling the House and facing Republican Senate and Republican White House, was able to increase domestic spending on domestic programs. So this is a big victory for her. You know, she said she would never take the debt ceiling hostage, so she kind of played it very light. But she did insist that the debt ceiling be attached to this type of budget deal. And then the last hangup in the deal was finding some way to pay for it. The White House, led by Mick Mulvaney, who made his reputation as a fiscal hawk, tried to attach about $1 trillion in spending cuts and reforms to the deal. Pelosi balked at that and ended up agreeing only to $77 billion. And this is causing a real split in the Republican Party. There are fiscal hawks who will vote against this. In fact, there are some moderate Democrats who may vote against it because of the price tag.
Let's drill down on that a little bit, because we mentioned Pelosi's happy. This is a good look for her. But who's unhappy? And let's talk about the split in the Republican Party a little bit more.
I think we're really seeing unhappiness on the wings of both parties. You know, on the right wing, we have Ted Cruz. Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana came out and said a quote that I thought was pretty great, which he said, cutting spending around here is a lot like going to heaven. Everyone wants to go, but no one wants to take the trip. People talk about cutting spending or reducing government expenditures, but when it comes to actually figuring out what to cut, they won't do it. The big drivers of the debt are Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, but these programs are very, very popular. Mitch McConnell, when he was pressed on why he's supporting this deal, talked about raising the retirement age, but there's really no prospect of doing that. It's deeply unpopular. So I think on the Republican side, you have people who are worried about the deficit, but when it came to the tax cut, which did add $2 trillion to the deficit, they voted for it. On the Democratic side, there is some consternation about the debt ceiling being raised only to July 31st, 2021. This would be in the first 6 months of the next president's term. And let's say it is a progressive Democrat who's in office. Most likely, they'll be facing Mitch McConnell across the table in a Republican Senate. And he could try to use the debt ceiling to sort of put a crimp on their policy proposals. So there are some liberals who will probably vote against it over this issue.
Speaking with Bloomberg News reporter Eric Wasson, and we're talking about the federal budget deal announced earlier this week. Eric, there's a word that sort of we've almost forgotten about here. A lot has been made about how this deal eliminates something, automatic budget cuts, and that word is the sequester. We remember that back from budget negotiations back in 2014. How big of a part of the deal is that elimination of the sequester, if you will?
Well, there were going to be $126 billion in cuts. They would have taken effect 15 days after Congress adjourned. So we were looking at late December or early January. And this was really sort of a cliff. Now, you know, in a huge economy like we have, it would be a small crimp on spending. But still, nonetheless, it could prevent a fiscal challenge. For President Trump, a key part of this deal and his biggest asset going into this reelection campaign is the roaring economy. So he's removed the threat of spending cuts. He's also removed the threat of a debt ceiling crisis. You know, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin came out with a new estimate that the debt ceiling could have been impacted in early September. That would have caused a payments default. That's different than a government shutdown, which actually does still loom in October because they have to pass spending bills in order to accord with this budget outline. But he forecasted in early September we would have a potential payment default. Now, that caused a lot of nervousness in the Treasury market. It also causes nervousness in the stock market. So President Trump is really locked down if this deal does go through, something that would sort of preserve his greatest asset, which is a roaring economy.
Since 2016, President Trump has been talking a lot about paying down the federal debt, and that debt has hit about $22 trillion since he came into office. If this budget is passed, while it will keep the lights on for the federal government, the deficit would now be on pace to be over $1 trillion a year. How does the White House square these two things?
You know, it's very interesting. Even before this deal, it was already on pace to be about $900 billion next year. This will probably take it up above the $1 trillion mark. And that compares to about half that amount in the last year of the Obama administration. You know, President Trump, you know, he has promoted these tax cuts. He's signed on to bipartisan spending deals. And this has all made him a real deficit spender. And this is not core to his message. It's to distribute benefits to get the economy going. That's what they want to focus on. They're also focusing on the military. They say that that sequester, that automatic set of budget cuts, was a real threat to the military. And they point to you know, military and national security threats coming out of the Middle East or Asia, and say that we need to have a bigger defense. You know, that's questionable. I mean, there are certainly some people who argue that, you know, you don't need to have $750 billion, which this deal would approach per year for the Pentagon.
Now, what about Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin? What's he doing in order to get support for this budget?
You know, he's actually a very interesting. He's the protagonist of all this. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin are the ones who negotiated this. Over several weeks, they were in constant contact. You know, a key part of these deals is finding people who can talk to each other. No one on Capitol Hill, either on the Republican or Democratic side, really had a good relationship with Mick Mulvaney, who's the chief of staff. He was in Congress as a Tea Party congressman from South Carolina. He burned a lot of bridges at that time. You know, he also was someone who had tried to use the debt ceiling to get his way in 2011. So they had to find someone that Pelosi could talk to, and it turned out to be Mnuchin. Now he's got to sell it. He was up in the Senate Republican lunch on Tuesday trying to sell it to skeptical Republicans, and arguing that, you know, in a divided government where you have an election that produces a Democratic House, Republican Senate, Republican White House, this is the best that he could do.
Eric, how likely is it that this is going to pass? And if it doesn't, what next?
Well, you know, it's looking like it's on track. There'll be a big meetings in the middle of the week to try to figure out, you know, where the vote count lies exactly. But Republican and Democratic leaders are expressing confidence. Steve Scalise, the Republican whip, told me that it would pass. Nancy Pelosi also told me that it would pass. So I think that they're, you know, they usually project confidence, but I did sense that it was actually authentic. If it doesn't pass, there was talk of doing a short-term debt ceiling extension. This is something Treasury bill investors do not like, that markets do not like, into October. That would leave a lot of uncertainty hanging over everyone. Essentially, the House is slated to go on a 6-week recess on Friday, and you know, that would mean that they need to do a short-term debt ceiling increase because of the forecast that it could see a default in early September before they got back.
Eric Wasson is a congressional reporter for Bloomberg News. Eric, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much.